Today's reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 29 to 34. Please follow along in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 29 to 34. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It makes a huge difference to the way we live our lives day by day, whether this life is the destination or the departure lounge. You see, if this life is the destination, if this life is all there is and there is nothing beyond it, then we better pack as much as we can into it, have as many experiences as we can. We better go on as many foreign holidays as we can and have the fastest car maybe that we can and the best house and the best toys. And we better have the best that there is, because when it's ended, that's it. Paul says that that's the logic that we should follow in verse 32. He says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He says, if this life is the destination, cram it full with whatever you want. But he's been arguing, actually, this life isn't the destination. This life is the departure lounge. Which isn't to minimise the significance of what we do in this life, but it's just to say, actually, this life is not the main event. He's been saying, because Jesus has risen from the dead, we too, if we trust in him, will also rise from the dead. Life will go on beyond this life. And the kingdom will come. That will be the main event. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus is the main event that will last for all eternity. Now, if that's true, if this life is the departure lounge for the kingdom of Jesus, that makes a difference to the way we live day by day. And we're going to see in these verses, Paul is saying it makes a difference to the way that we view suffering for the kingdom and sinning. But before we think about those things, we just need a little aside about verse 29. So we need to deal with verse 29, because I think if we don't, some of you are going to say, Bart, you chickened out on the difficult verse. And it is a tricky verse. It says in verse 29, now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And we read that and we think, what on earth was going on in Corinth? People being baptized for dead people. Now, we need to remember this is a letter from Paul to the church in Corinth. And the main thing he's dealing with at the moment is the fact that there are some people who are saying there's no resurrection. And Paul has just given a really good argument from the resurrection of Jesus to say others will be raised. Those who've trusted in Christ will be raised. But at this point in his argument, what he's trying to say is, even you Corinthians are not being consistent. Because if you really thought there was no resurrection from the dead, why are people being baptized for them? Now, we don't know what that practice is. It's like we've got half of a telephone conversation. We don't really know what's going on at the Corinthian end of this. And one commentator has said there could be 40 different explanations for this. And this practice of being baptized for the dead is not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. So we don't really know what was going on there. So you couldn't really build from this a sort of practice of being baptized from the dead. And after all, Paul isn't actually saying that it was a good thing they were doing. All he's saying is, you're being inconsistent. If you really thought there was no resurrection, why would you be doing this? Well, that's enough on verse 29. Let's get back to the main points. And the first one is about suffering for the kingdom. Paul is saying in these verses that suffering for the kingdom makes sense. It makes sense if glory awaits. I mean, if there's nothing beyond this life, then suffering for the kingdom in this life makes no sense at all. That's what he's saying. Verse 30. And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? Do you see, he's saying, if this life is all there is, I have made terrible decisions. He says he endangers himself every hour. He says he dies every day. In other words, he doesn't live for pleasure, doesn't live for his own desires. He suffers, he dies every day to his own goals and his own dreams. And he says, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus. Now that fighting wild beasts, that's not literally fighting wild beasts. He wasn't thrown to wild animals. That wouldn't have happened for someone who was a Roman citizen. But rather, probably what he's talking about is the people of Ephesus who treated him really badly. And if you look back in the book of Acts, you can see how badly they treated him. He's saying, I was thrown to them and they attacked me. He's saying, this is the way I live. Now, that doesn't make sense if this life is all there is. But with glory still to come and with the kingdom to come, it does make sense. And there are plenty who, over the course of church history, have lived this out, who said actually they're prepared to suffer for the sake of the kingdom in incredible ways. I was reading recently John Piper's book where he does the biography of Adoniram Judson, and it's an incredible life to read about. It is one full of suffering. Just when you think it's got as bad as it could get, it gets even worse. Adoniram Judson went out to Myanmar, or Burma as it was called then, early in the 19th century. He went out at the age of 24 and he took his wife with him. And they went out there and it was a life of incredible suffering for the gospel. They had to deal with the incredible heat out there. They had to deal with dysentery, cholera, malaria. Two of his wives died while he was out there. Seven of his 13 children died out there. For 17 months, he was imprisoned and tortured. And why would you do all this? And the thing is, he knew it was going to be intense suffering before he went. People told him not to go, but he went anyway. And just before he left, he wanted to marry Anne. I think he'd known her for about a month before he asked her to marry him. And this is the letter that he wrote. He wrote a letter to her father. And it's an incredible letter. I've read it out before, but it's great to read again. Hear what he says. I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring, to see her no more in this world, whether you can consent to her departure and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of missionary life, whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you, for the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and the glory of God? Can you consent to all this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory with the crown of righteousness, brightened with the acclamations of praise which shall redound to her Saviour from heathen saved through her means from eternal woe and despair? Now that's quite a letter to write. It's quite a letter to receive as well. I wonder what her father made of it. Well, her father said it was up to her whether she went or not. And she did go. Now what would inspire Anne and Adoniram to go out, to go to such suffering? Well, it's the glory that awaits, isn't it? That's what he says. In hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory. With that to come, suffering for the kingdom in this life does make sense. Well, what about for you and me? We may not suffer in the way that Adoniram Judson did, and not everyone is called to that kind of suffering, but all who follow Jesus, we're assured, will suffer. And we need to be prepared for it, and to be prepared that it does make sense. Maybe for you, that means in your job that you won't get the promotions that others are getting because you're prepared to stand for biblical truth and to live out what the Bible says about honesty. Maybe for you, it's about your job being at risk if you speak about the Lord Jesus and yet you're prepared to do it. There could be all kinds of sufferings that can come from proclaiming the gospel. Maybe for you, it's your school friends who maybe won't like you if you talk to them about Jesus. Now, for all of us, there are other sufferings that come along with following Jesus. It's being prepared to give financially, self-sacrificially, financially giving, so that actually we can't have the kind of things that others have. Maybe we can't have the holidays that others have. Not that there's anything wrong with having a holiday, but giving to the extent that it changes your life. Giving your time, giving your money. But maybe there are some of us for whom actually a change of career is in order. This time of coronavirus makes you think, doesn't it, about what's most important. And maybe some are saying, you know what, I could be using what God's given to me in a bigger way. And maybe you should be changing what you're doing. Maybe you should think about going abroad to tell those who don't yet know about Jesus, about him. Maybe it should be in this country. Maybe you should be thinking about going to Vicar Factory. There could be all kinds of ways that you might want to do it, but maybe there are some, I hope there are, who are watching this, who the Spirit is prompting to think, actually, maybe I should be going. There are others who've done it from Emmanuel Church, David and Liz Crozier in the past, who we still support, who've retired, but they went out to Nigeria, not a safe place to go, involved in Bible translation work out there. How about you? Should you be thinking about going? Now, of course, there are plenty who'll say, no, I should stay in the job I'm in and in the area I'm in. That is not a second-rate thing to do. That is still great because we're all missionaries. But maybe the Lord is prompting some to be thinking, you know what, I should be going. Even if it involves suffering, that makes sense for the kingdom. And then there's our second point from the passage, which is about sinning. Paul at this point confronts the Corinthians about their sin. He says, verse 33, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame." He's saying, be careful who you hang out with, because who you hang out with determines your actions and your morals and what you're going to do. And who are the bad company? Well, in this context, it's people who are saying that there won't be a resurrection. Because as we've already thought about, that kind of thinking leads to thinking it doesn't matter what you do. If there's no resurrection, live how you like. Indulge in whatever you like. Now, we too need to be wary, don't we? And maybe particularly during lockdown, that there can be temptations to indulge in sinful behaviour. Because for some of us, we're working harder than we were before and working maybe more hours. And maybe you're not getting so much of a break because you're working from home, and therefore your normal breaks where you'd be coming home, you're not having. And therefore the pressures are greater. For others, maybe you're worried about whether you're going to have a job in a few months' time. For others, the issue is different. It's one of boredom, or maybe it's laziness, or maybe it's loneliness. There are all kinds of issues that we might have, and sometimes our way out of them is to indulge in sinful behavior. And what are the ways we might do that? Well, two common ways are drunkenness and pornography. And the statistics say that the purchasing of alcohol has gone up during lockdown. A BBC article said that in the month of March, when lockdown started, sales of alcohol went up by 22%. And it's true for pornography as well. An article on the internet, on the Economist website, said that use of a particular pornographic website also went up by 22% in the month of April. compared to the month of March? And is this our temptation as well, to indulge in those things? Why might we want to do that? Well, to escape reality, to escape the fears, to escape the boredom, the loneliness, the stresses, the pressures. Maybe that's why we want to do those things. But do you notice what Paul says? Verse 34, he says, come back to your senses. Now that word that he uses there, the words in the original are kind of words for come out of a stupor, out of a daze, and come back to reality. If you've ever been to the cinema during the daytime, you know that it can be a weird experience when you come back out of the cinema, because you've been in a dark room for a long time and you've been immersed in a story that's been portrayed in front of you, and you come out and you come out of the doors and suddenly the daylight hits you, and it can take you a few minutes to be able to reorientate yourself to reality. And Paul is saying that's what you need to do, because actually, when we're tempted to indulge in sinful behavior, we tell ourselves lies. You see, as we look about reality and we confronted by the fears and the stresses and the pressures, we'll tell ourselves lies. We'll think, well, maybe God isn't in control. Maybe it doesn't matter what I do. And actually, Paul says, don't escape reality. Come back to reality. Come to your senses. Because what is reality? Reality is that Jesus is King. And that he died for you, if you're a Christian. He died for your sin, for your drunkenness, for your lust, for your watching pornography, for your anger, for all of our sins. He died for those things. And beyond this life, there will be his kingdom. And if you're a Christian, you will meet your Saviour. You will meet the Lord Jesus, the one who died for you. And therefore, once we've seen reality, and that is reality, it's not a dream, it's reality. This is what's going to happen. We need now to live for our King and stop sinning. Now, if you're not yet a Christian, you need to be aware that Christians are not people who get it right all the time. We're not perfect, but we know where to go with our sin. We know who to go to. We bring our sin to Jesus because he died for us. But once we've done that, once you've brought your sin to Jesus, you then need to change the way we live. We need to live for him, seeking to obey him, seeking to live lives of holiness, of godliness, not because we're better than others, no way, but because Jesus died for us and he's our King. So, Christian, are there things that you need to stop doing? And I need to ask myself the same question. It may be those things that we thought about before, drunkenness, pornography, but maybe it's other things. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's wallowing in self-pity. What do we need to change? And do you need to ask someone to help you, to be accountable to, for looking to change? So we've thought about the fact that this life is not the destination, it's the departure lounge with the kingdom to come. Now, that doesn't in any way minimize the importance of what we're doing in this life, but it's saying what is yet to come is glorious and we need to look forward to that. But therefore, that makes a difference day to day for us. It makes a difference that it means that suffering for the kingdom does make sense, and we should be prepared for it. Not looking for it, but prepared for it. But it also means that we need to stop sinning. I'm going to close our service with a prayer. Let's pray together. We've just sung, haste thee on from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer. Heaven's eternal days before thee, God's own hand shall guide thee there. Soon shall close thy earthly mission. Soon shall pass thy pilgrim days. Hope shall change to glad fruition, faith to sight, and prayer to praise. Heavenly Father, with that hope before us, with glory awaiting us, Help us, Father, to be prepared for suffering that may come through being prepared to tell others about Jesus. And help us to be ready to stop sinning. Lord, we can't do either of those things without your Spirit at work in us. So we pray your strengthening and your help. In Jesus' name, amen.